time you have to go to work for your employer. You would pass analysis. Unfortunately, the whole messy laid on Charlie. He just hears to hear it.
Amen. All right. Amen. Matthew chapter 5. So if you would, look down at verse number 43. It says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." The title of my sermon this morning is Justified Hate. Justified Hate. You see, most people today, most Christians today especially, will tell you that if you hate anyone for any reason, you are out of the will of God and that you're a problem, or you go to a cultish type church or something along those lines, right? We've all heard it. We've all been exposed to that. And so I'm going to be preaching against that this morning. Being it's the end of June, Pride Month, I figured it was a well-fit sermon. So I think it was last week. A lot of you guys heard about that video of these guys in Idaho going around spray painting the sodomite flags and the little slash across them saying, "Not in my town." And, I just commented something on there like, "Hey, man, I think I left a Bible verse." And this guy writes back and he's like, "Jesus said to love everyone," right? And, you know, I got an email last week. This was unrelated, but it was something that Brother Dylan preached like the time he was here last. Not last Sunday, but the time before that. It was like, you know, we're supposed to love everyone. We should never, you know, hate anyone for any reason. And, you know, so I figured, you know, I'm just going to bring this up and just preach about that because it's not true. In fact, if you type in the word "everyone" into your Bible concordance, you're not going to find the word "everyone." Yeah. So did Jesus say that? Did he say it in a different way? Right? That's what we're going to find out. As you type in the phrase "love everyone," you're not going to find that in the Bible. In fact, what you will find is we're commanded to love three people. Okay? We're commanded to love three people, not just three people that you choose. We're going to see who those people are. Now, if you would back up to verse number 11, you're there in Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to go ahead and dispel this false doctrine or this false teaching that a Christian shouldn't hate anyone for any reason at all. Now, verse number 11, it said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." You see, it's not just the gospel that offends people. It's also the other doctrines that we teach out of the Bible. We know that Jesus is the Word, and we believe in the Word from front to back, from Genesis to Revelation. We're going to stand behind every word, every single doctrine that's in this book. And you know what? That's going to cause people to revile us from time to time. You know, some people may say, "Well, I don't agree with you on salvation, but I really hate that other doctrine," whatever it may be. And you know what? We need to stand firm on those things. And we get a little bit of encouragement here in verse number 12. Jesus said, "Hey, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." You know, the prophets of the Old Testament were killed, they were slain, they were tortured, they were beaten just simply for preaching the word of God. You know, just for going to the kings and telling them, "Hey, you're messed up. You need to stop what you're doing and you need to change your ways," right? And they were reviled, they were rebuked. So it's no marvel, it's no wonder that we're going to receive the same treatment from the world and people that call themselves Christians, right? Now, verse 13, Jesus says this. He says, "Hey, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." And so you see, it's us that hold the Bible in high regards that are the ones that are going to preserve humanity. I mean, think about it. For example, just a real quick teaching on this, right? You go out and get people saved, guess what? Now there's some people that aren't going to be reprobates, right? Right? We got 27 people saved this month. You know, that's slowly preserving the earth. The problem is we're not doing this on a large scale. Most people that call themselves Christians and that are saved or whatever, they're not preaching the truth. They're not salt. They have lost their savor. Yeah. They're good for nothing but entertainment, right? They're good for nothing but a show, a reed shaken in the wind. And I say that all the time because it's so true. And it's the biggest problem that I see out there today. Yeah. Look, this doctrine here, you may think, "Oh, this is just a hobby horse. I hear this preached all the time." No, this is not a hobby horse. Yeah. Reprobates are increasing by the minute on this planet. And you have got to know this doctrine. You have to know it. It's not just I'm special and I heard this teaching and I know that you know. It's nothing like that. You've got to understand this. You have to be able to explain this to other people. Because if you don't, you're going to get yourself trodden underfoot. You have to know the doctrines of the Bible. And this is a very, very important one. Because the people that we hate are very dangerous members of society. And our government will not, listen to me, they will not do anything to them. In fact, they go ahead and they give them a full month of respect. Right? So we need to make sure that we are that salt, and we're out there teaching people and warning them about these types of things that are out there. And you know what? That in of itself is also a method of preservation. Amen. Verse number 14, it says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You know what? We should never be ashamed of the doctrines or the teachings that are in the Bible, no matter what. No matter what. We should never let somebody make us feel like we are worthless or dirt because of the things that are taught in this book. That is not okay. Verse number 15, he says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Look, we are meant to be that light, whether the world likes it or whether they just want to lump it. And if it's too bright for them, then so be it. Right? So be it. That is our mission. That is our goal. That is what we have to do. Now jump down to verse number 17. Jesus says this. He says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now with that in mind, go back to verse number 43. There's a lot of people have this idea like, okay, in the Old Testament, it was okay to do certain things like hate and do war. And now it's completely changed and Jesus changed it. And they'll often point you to these verses right here and say, look, I can show you. So again, verse 43, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Now look at verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And I'm going to show you that this is true. Obviously, Jesus said this. We must do these things, right? But what they'll say is, see, in the Old Testament, in verse 43, they were supposed to love their neighbor and hate the enemy because they went out to war, and they were supposed to use that hatred to actually kill and be victorious. That's not true at all. That's a problem. That's false doctrine here. Now, just a quick example. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read for you two passages out of the Old Testament. First one is in Exodus 23, verse 4. Listen to this. It says, if thou meet thine enemy's ox or ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. So right off the bat, right in the beginning of the establishment of the Old Testament nation of Israel, God's giving Moses the law. What do we learn? They're supposed to respect their enemies. Yeah, right. They're supposed to treat them kindly. Another quick example, Proverbs 25, verse 21. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. This is an Old Testament verse. So the question I have is, where in the Old Testament were they told to hate their enemies but only love their neighbor? Right. Where was? Yeah, exactly. Now, just listen to this. Book of Mormon, 3rd Nephi, chapter 12, verses 43 through 44. This is a passage in the book of Nephi where Jesus apparently came back and preached a message to to ancient America, okay? And listen to this, because this is a perversion of Matthew chapter 5, verse 40. Listen, it says, and behold, it is written also. Now, keep in mind, this is the Book of Mormon. It says, and behold, it is written also, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But behold, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. Did you catch the difference? Look down at Matthew 5, 43. What does Jesus say? Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Well, the Book of Mormon says, as it is written. Big difference there. Big difference. So what are we learning about this? What's going on here? Here's point number one. We are to love our enemies, not God's enemies. We are to love our enemies, not God's enemies. So what Jesus is telling these guys, he tells you what it says. He says, ye have heard that it hath been said, right? Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. He's exposing that teaching as a whole. He's like, you guys are hearing this. Hey, you're supposed to love your neighbor, so your fellow Israelite here, and then hate all the enemies. That is a false doctrine. Right. That's not the way it's supposed to work. Jesus is saying, you are hearing this, but I'm saying to you, right? And he brings them right back to Exodus, right back to Proverbs, right back to the Old Testament, proving once and for all that he is the living word, that he knows the word of God, and that their teachers are lying to them and they are false teachers, false prophets, and that they need to wake up and smell the coffee, so to speak, right? But you know what? There's nothing new under the sun. This is exactly what's going on in the world today. And what does the Mormon Church teach? They're saying in their holy book that it's written. Well, guess what? It's not written in the Bible, but that's what they're implying here, right? And that's the mindset that the world has. They're saying, well, in the Old Testament, it was taught that it was okay to love your neighbor, hate that enemy. But now a believer has no excuse to hate anyone for any reason, even if it's Jeffrey Dahmer, even if it's a pedophile. It doesn't matter. You can't hate them because you're not right with God. You know, I oftentimes feel like asking these people, well, don't you hate that? You know, and you, if you didn't, you wouldn't comment. You wouldn't email me. You wouldn't send us death threats all the time. You know, it's like, shut your mouth. Turn to Psalms chapter 139. Psalms chapter 139. So point number one is we are to love our enemies, not God's enemies. In this passage here, you know, Jesus is telling them, hey, there's certain things you need to do to your enemies. Because you know what? Not every enemy that you and I have is necessarily the enemy of God. Okay, there is a big, gigantic difference. You want to know the biggest example that comes to mind? Genesis 19, fire and brimstone. You know what? That's a pretty hateful act. And you know what? By the time you get to Jude, what do we learn about that? Hey, that's an example of how we should view those people. Right? So when we preach that, when we teach that, we're accused of being in a cult. We're accused of being haters. But you know what? That's Bible doctrine. These are the words of Jesus Christ, and we're going to live by them. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 5, or verse 8 says that there is a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. So, look, you believe the Word of God. Well, the Word of God tells us that there is a time to hate.
Right.
And you know what? Somebody, for example, who would turn and molest a child or lust after a child or the same sex, you know what? We are to hate those people for obvious reasons because they hate God. That's not a natural action. That's a symbol that somebody's been given over to a reprobate mind. Now look down here at verse number 139. I'm sorry, Psalm 139, verse 21. Very popular verses. It says this. It says, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. So the hatred that we need to have towards God's enemies has to be perfect, meaning complete. Meaning, you know, it has to be for the right reasons, right? It's okay to hate God's enemies. I mean, think about it. This was written by King David. And David was a man after God's own heart. Right? The Bible says in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. So that would include Psalm chapter 139. That would include Psalm chapter 5. That would include all of them that talk about hate. And there's many passages that I could have you turn to this morning that talk about the same thing. So turn, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter number 19. So when Jesus is saying here, ye have heard that it hath been said, he's saying, hey, look, there's this teaching going around, and this is what you're hearing, and it's not true. And he brings them right back to the Word of God, right? And he's saying, hey, to your enemies, to those that you don't get along with, you need to love them. You need to have respect unto them. You need to not take vengeance upon them, because the Bible says that vengeance belongeth to the Lord. So you're there in 2 Chronicles chapter 19. I want to show you this in action here. We are to hate God's enemies. This is a concept that's taught, really, when you think about it, from the beginning to the end of the Bible. You know the story here. This is about Jehu. It's before he's king, and he's going around, and you remember Jehoshaphat. What was his big problem? He loved to pal around with the new evangelical of his day, right? Ahab and Ahab's two descendants after him, right? He was always trying to yoke up with them. Hey, you know, we're brothers. You know, my people is thy people. You know, we're one nation. And I guess in his mind, he's probably thinking, you know, maybe we can restore something here and be a big nation again. But it's, you know, it's just ignorance at the end of the day. And so he's always trying to help Ahab, always trying to help these guys out. Now look here at 2 Chronicles 19. Look at verse number 1. It says, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from the Lord. This is a prophecy here. This is not Jehu out of line here. This is biblical doctrine. Jehoshaphat was wrong. He was wrong for helping out people that hate the Lord. Now, the modern day Christian would say, well, Jehoshaphat should have baked him cookies, you know, and should have, and Jehu was wrong here. You know, he should have went up there and helped him out and maybe washed his feet and done good stuff. No, he's saying, hey, you're hanging out with people that hate God, right? Love your enemies, not God's enemies. You see what I'm saying? Look at verse 3. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee that thou hast taken away the grove out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. And so look, I'm not saying this morning that everybody that doesn't believe like us is just super wicked or anything like that at all. Obviously, Jehoshaphat was a good king. He did a lot of good stuff for the nation. He had things going for him, but he had the wrath of God abiding on him simply because he didn't understand the doctrine. We are to love our enemies, not God's enemies. There is a big difference there. Now go back, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. You know, for example, the Bible tells us very clearly that a sodomite, a person who lusts after the same sex, is a hater of God. Right? We studied that at the beginning of the month when we went through Jude. You guys remember that? You all know that, right? So we are told by the Bible that we shouldn't love these people. We shouldn't go to their parades and hang out with them. We shouldn't go eat with them and be palling around with them, right? But at the same time, you know, I'm not going to go around and burn their flags as much as I want to, because, you know, I do agree with those guys, like, hey, not in our town. Because we understand the destruction that that brings. But the battle's not with a spray paint can or the napalm or stuff like that. It's really behind a pulpit. It's with the Bible. It's with all of you taking this doctrine to everybody that you know and teaching this to them and warning them, saying, hey, you sending your kids to that Sunday school with a sodomite teaching it? You better be careful. You better take him out of there, because he's going to hurt your child. You are in great danger. You know, we are salt. We are light. We need to apply that to all the doctrines that we know, but especially that, because it's not, I understand it's not a salvation thing, but you know what? It is a physical salvation thing. You could save somebody's life. You could save a child's life by simply educating the dangers of this behavior, of these types of people. You know, I also think about these wicked atheists and these scientists, these people that loudly proclaim how much they hate God. Right, yeah. You know, these Satanists and these devil-worshipping type people, you know, they oftentimes will create content, YouTube videos, movies, and songs, and all sorts of things and media out there for people like, I don't know, for Bill Nye the Science Guy. Right. Right? What's our role? How do we respond to stuff like that? Well, we need to educate people to stay away from that. Yeah. We need to preach against those things to save them, right? We are to love our enemies and hate God's enemies. We are to warn people of the dangers that those people bring.
Right?
Right? That's exactly what Jehu's trying to get across to Jehoshaphat. He's like, you know what? If you want to get the wrath of God lifted off you, you might want to wake up. You might want to stop supporting those that hate our God. You know what? And that is a big problem today with modern Christianity. They have no problem supporting the sodomites. You want to know why? Because they're scared. Yeah. They're afraid. Right. They're afraid they're going to lose money. They're afraid they're going to lose popularity. They're afraid they're going to lose their congregations.
Yep.
You know, I might have to go back to work, man. This sucks. I'm not gonna take a stand on this. I'm not going to die on that hill. You know what? That is a hill worth dying on.
Amen.
For sure. 100% for sure. You're there back in Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 44. He says this again. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Again, what is he saying here? Hey, it is the Lord that repayeth. It's God whom vengeance belongs to. Verse 46, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But, verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I'm not discrediting these verses at all. We just need to know how to properly apply them. Right. Notice what he says in verse 46. What reward have ye if you just love those that love you? So you know what that tells me? Point number two. As God's people, we are called to go above and beyond to show that we are the children of light. We need to humble ourselves in this manner that, you know, when somebody wrongs us, when somebody says that they do hate us, but they don't necessarily hate God, somebody, you know, is messing with you just because they don't like you, or maybe they're just ignorant of the facts. You know, we should be kind to them. If they get a flat tire, you should help them out. If they're down on their luck and you have the resources, help them out. There's nothing wrong with doing that. You know why? Because you never know when that might change their hearts. Right? They just have this picture painted of you, and they're just going to go with that until they see otherwise. Maybe they grew up being taught, you know, all Christians are hypocrites. You know, my response to that is everybody's a hypocrite. Yeah. We've all said and taught things that you know, we agree with and we believe, and then have done the exact opposite. There's not a soul in this room that hasn't done that. You know, and so at the same time, we shouldn't allow these people to just point us and say, oh, no, only Christians are hypocrites. No, that's not true at all. Yeah. It's the whole entire world that's full of hypocrites. And so what he's saying here is that this is, you know, it reflected in part on how we treat those that are our enemies. Now, if you would back up again to verse 16, you see the key to understanding this part of Matthew chapter 5 is you'd have to read the beginning of the chapter. And I'll take it a step further. You know, you should read the beginning of the book. Right. And a step further, you need to get saved. Okay, because if you're not saved, you're not going to understand any of this stuff, right? So verse 16, we read this at the beginning, and I told you to hold your thought. Remember, verse 16, let your light so shine before men, for they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So when you're reading this passage here, Matthew 5:44 through 5:48, he's saying, hey, the reason why I want you to do this is so that your enemy will glorify God. Did you know that? When you act accordingly, when you love your enemies the way Christ said to do it, you know what? That person may turn around and actually glorify God. You know what? You guys remember the story last year, right? When we had the Boise bench fight. This is a perfect example. Brother Skok and I, we knocked on this lady's door, and she's like, I've seen you on YouTube. I've seen you before. Your pastor's a jerk. He's really rude, blah, 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 right? I'm like, I am the pastor. She's like, I'm going to put my coat on. Remember? And I looked at her, and I was like, I don't know. We might get into a fight, man. Something's going to go down. And she comes outside super mad, super angry, arrogant, right? And we just talked her down. I was kind to her. Sometimes it's not like me, you know what I mean? This time I was kind to her, you know, and she started telling, I could just sense that she was hurting, right? And she's just telling us, you know, she's going through a real rough time in life, and we just listened to her, we just encouraged her, and we wound up telling her, you know what, we'll help you move. We'll help you take stuff to Goodwill, we'll help you pack your stuff up, whatever it is, we'll get you some help, right? And she actually came and visited the church one time, and so we did that. We turned around and helped her out, and she was very grateful. We actually turned an enemy into a friend. Now, did she get saved? No, I was able to give her the gospel. I was able to plant that seed. And you never know what down the road, what that might do. Because no matter what anybody says about us or a church like ours, from now on, she will remember that act of kindness that this church did for her. Right? And she's going to be like, no, they're not like that. And I'll bet you someday you'll probably see her in heaven. I bet you someday you'll see her glorify God. Just because of the example that we provided for her. She was our enemy and we loved her. We did Matthew chapter 5 on her and it worked like a charm, okay? But you know what? She wasn't some God-hating reprobate. Right. You know, she'd come out with a rainbow-colored jacket on and been like, well, I'm sick and tired of bigots and, you know, and I'm going to do this thing and I got this parade to go to. You know, I'd have been like, I'm out of here. You are wicked, you know? That's exactly what I'd say. Yeah. I don't care. I'm not going to cast pearls before swine. I'm not going to give that which is holy unto dogs. Are you out of your mind? Are you crazy? Do you think I want to bring the wrath of God on me and on this church by yoking up with a bunch of people that hate God? No, I have already read what happened to Jehoshaphat. I don't want that to happen to us. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter number 12. So point number one, we are to love our enemies, not God's enemies. And point number two is as God's people, we are called to go above and beyond to show that we are the children of light. Why? So that they may glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's why. A reprobate cannot glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Here's what we do with this. Verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with all men. And people say, well, that goes to sodomites. And that's kind of true. You know what? If you're at work and you have to work with these people, you know, as much as possible, you should try to avoid them and not talk to them and watch your back and watch the backs of those that you work with. Right? That in of itself keeps the peace because you already know that they are filled with all unrighteousness. That's what the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 1. Again, before you got to Romans 12, hopefully you read Romans 1, right? And by doing that, you are keeping the peace, right? But notice what he says, if it be possible. Do you know why he says if it be possible? Because it's not always possible. It's not always possible to live peaceably with all men. Well, you know, especially reprobates. Yeah. And sometimes, honestly, with just some stubborn people, okay? People that aren't reprobates. Sometimes it's just not possible. There are some people that are in a stage in their life, and it's just, you're just not going to get along with them. You're not going to be able to keep the peace, and you just have to depart, okay? Verse 19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." We need to take comfort in knowing that it is God who does repay the wicked. Right? It's not our job to do that. It's our job to be salt. It's our job to be light. It's our job to keep the peace if possible. Verse 20, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." Where did he get that? Matthew chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 25, reading the Bible. That is biblical doctrine. Now notice this, even by doing those things to people that are God haters, just by doing that, you're still heaping coals of fire on their head.
Right.
Now I'm not saying that I'm going to go help out a bunch of trannies that have a flat tire on the side of the road. I'm going to keep on driving by. I'm not helping you. And I'm not sorry about it. I'm not going to help the ungodly.
Amen. Good.
Okay. Now, if I'm stuck in a situation to where I have to work with them, which I've been in the past, I have actually had people on my crew as the boss that were sodomites. And you know what? When they did well, I rewarded them because that was the right thing to do, right? I didn't want to portray myself as somebody that had a false balance. So when they did something that was right, I took the right steps and did that. You know what? Oftentimes they come to me and be like, "You know, I know you hate me. I know you hate my lifestyle, but you're all right." And I was able to keep the peace. Now, I've met some that I couldn't keep the peace with. I'd have to call him, like, "Get this guy out of here. Something's going to happen really bad. You know, he needs to go." Remember one time we got this fruitcake with long hair down his back, you know, and showed up as a guest on our crew. I called up right away. I was like, "Dude, no. He needs to go. Everybody hates him. He's a liability. He's going to be going to HR every chance he gets. I'm not doing another job till he's gone." And they're like, "All right, we'll get him out of here. No problem." Sway win. You know, as the believer, you know, God's got your back.
Yep.
He has your back. But what is a bad idea is when you placate those people because you think that by giving them an inch that they won't take a mile.
Right.
You think by helping them out and just like befriending them that they won't trample you. They'll trod you underfoot.
Oh, yes.
And laugh about it all the way to the bank. Mm-hmm. You know what a perfect picture of this is, though? This point here that we're called to be above and beyond by loving our enemies. Think about David. Remember when he said, you know, "Who will go with me down into the hole?" And Abishai was like, "I will go with you." And they went down there, and what did Abishai say? "Oh, there he is. Let me smite him through, and I won't have to smite him the second time." And Abishai's like, "One shot, one kill, I've got this." What did David say? He said, "Though he be our enemy, I know he's trying to kill me. I know that we are in torments right now because of Saul. But we shouldn't lift our hand up against the Lord's anointed." Right? He said, perhaps he will die in battle, or his days will be numbered, or his days will come to an end. He's like, but it's not our place to do that. You know what? Again, a man after God's own heart. He loved his enemies, but he also loved his neighbors. And he also hated God's enemies with a passion, which is why he wrote Psalm 139, which is why he sawed people in half. Okay, which, that's going above and beyond. I mean, God didn't tell him to do that, but you get the point here, right? You get the point. You get the idea. Turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter number 12. So again, point number two was, as God's people, we're called to go above and beyond to show that we are the children of light. That's why Jesus said, hey, if you just love your friends, you just love those that love you, don't the publicans and the Pharisees and all these guys, don't they just do that stuff? And that's true. We're called to be above them. We need to be of a very humble spirit and be mature. This is our goal. And by so doing, guess what? More souls won. It's no coincidence that as this church has matured, our soul winning numbers have gone up and up and up. A lot of you are getting people saved at work and people that you know, and it's because of the way that you're living your life. It's because you've developed that patience and this mindset that you know that it's a whole package, right? It's not just simply just running up to somebody and preaching them the word of God and living however you want, right? You understand that the doctrine of sanctification has power, right? It has power. It brings the Spirit of God on you and allows you to get stuff done, okay? And that's not to say if you go a long period without getting somebody saved that there's something wrong with you, because that's just life, right? It's just the way it happens. And sometimes God has to just purge us and so on and so forth. But let's move on here. Mark chapter 12, look at verse 28. So again, these guys want to challenge Jesus. They're trying to roast him. They can't do it. Verse 28, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? So this guy's like, hey, I want to know what the best is. Right? People just have this mindset. We've talked about this before, right? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who's going to be the mightiest, right? Well, they're like, okay, well, out of all the commandments, which one's the best one, right? Which one's the most important one? Verse 29. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So let me ask you a question. Is the first commandment that we are to love everyone for any reason, no matter what?
No.
Nope. Verse 31. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Now let's just stop here for a second. Go to Leviticus chapter 19, because I just want to show you where he's quoting this from. Leviticus chapter 19. Another big point of contention for a lot of people, they'll say, well, neighbor means everyone. Well, that's not true. I mean, just the word breakdown, neighbor, nay or nigh, right? A neighbor is somebody who's nigh unto you. So yeah, you live in a subdivision. You know, the guy on your left, your right, the guy in front of you, you know, those homes. They're we call them neighbors, right? Because they're close to your house. But they're not your neighbor in the sense that the Bible's talking about. And we've talked about this in detail in Hebrews and whatnot. You know, because people say, well, every sodomite, every person on the planet's your neighbor. Well, that's not true, because not every person on the planet is saved and a member of the body of Christ.
Right.
Now, a person who's a saved, born-again, Bible-believing Christian, somebody who's been placed into the body of Christ, whether they live here or Japan, they're your neighbor. Right, because we're in the same nation here. And you can see that, even that's how it was with the Old Testament in Israel. Right, the Asherite was a neighbor to the person born in Judah, even if they lived in geographically, you know, different places. They were neighbors because they're in the same nation. They're nigh, they're brothers, okay? But verse 15 here, Leviticus 19, look at verse 15. The Bible says this, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Well, that's one that they'd love to toss out. Oh, judgment, you judge your neighbor. No, you should never do that. Verse 16, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. So it's funny here in the verse, right? He talks about not being a talebearer among thy people. Thy people, meaning the same kindred here. And then at the end of the verse, you see the word neighbor. You see that, verse 17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor, not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So again, verse 17, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor. See, using these words interchangeably. So what I'm trying to tell you this morning is that a sodomite is not your neighbor. And therefore, neighbor does not mean everyone. A pedophile is not your neighbor. He might be your next door neighbor, but that's a use of that word that's outside of the context of the Bible. Okay? That is what people are missing today. They do not understand that. And you know what? Quite frankly, they don't want to understand that. Now, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to have you guys go to Jude, but I'm just going to read for you the famous verse here, Leviticus 20:13, because it comes after chapter number 19. In Leviticus, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed abomination, that shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. So Jesus in Mark is quoting, or in Matthew, is quoting Leviticus.
Yep.
Right? And he's quoting Leviticus chapter 19. Well, it's kind of funny what happens after you read Leviticus 19. You read Leviticus 20 and you learn, oh, a sodomite's not even supposed to be alive.
Yep.
They're not even supposed to be your neighbor. Right? The fact that he's your next door neighbor, if anything, that's just an anomaly. Because the government's not doing their job in removing them. Okay? So, you're there in Jude. I'm just going to give you point number three here. Jesus said, this. Remember, I mentioned these three people at the beginning of the sermon. Because remember that guy said, oh, Jesus said to love everyone. I get email. Jesus said to love everyone. I get these all the time, right? You guys get these all the time sometimes, you know, soul winning or people you work with or your friends or your family members. We all hear it.
Right.
You know, again, what did I tell you? You type in the word everyone, doesn't show up. Love everyone, doesn't show up. You know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, guess what? You find out who we're supposed to love. And it's centered around three people. You get to the book of John and you find out how much God loves us. Right? And in the rest of the New Testament, you don't find a commandment to love everyone for any reason, no matter what.
Right.
Oh, you never know. Jeffrey Dahmer on his deathbed, he got saved. Ted Bundy on his deathbed, got saved. It could happen. No, it can't.
Yeah.
When you boil people up and you cook them real good, guess what? They can't be saved.
Yeah.
It's not normal, okay? Yeah. Point number three is this. Here's the three people. Jesus said to love your enemies, your neighbor, and the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and all your soul. There's your three people. There's your three things, the three areas of focus that we are to love. You should love your enemies. Not God's enemies, but your enemies. You should love your neighbor. Even if he's unsaved. Your unsaved next door neighbor, you should love him. Now, if he's a pedophile, like I said, that's an anomaly. That's not supposed to exist.
Yeah.
Right? Case closed.
Right.
Done deal. But we're supposed to love the Lord our God. We're not commanded to love everyone. Again, why in Mark would Jesus say and make this distinction here when asked, what's the first commandment? And he says, hey, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And then he goes on to say this. And the second is namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Why didn't you just sum it all up and say, love everyone? Because that's false doctrine is why he didn't say that.
Yep.
Point number three, Jesus said to love your enemies, your neighbor, and the Lord with all your heart. He didn't say to love everyone, okay? Think about this. Luke chapter 23, Jesus is being questioned by Herod. What did Jesus say to him? Did he try to preach the gospel?
No.
Did he call Peter? Did he call John? Did he call Mark? No, he remained quiet. Why is that? Because I believe that after the time where he had John the Baptist's head cut off, I think that was the last straw.
Yeah.
Think about it. Why didn't Jesus preach him the gospel?
Right.
Why didn't God send Abraham to Sodom and Gomorrah to try to preach them the gospel and tell them to be saved?
Right.
You know, Abraham knew the reprobate doctrine. We saw that when he was talking with Melchizedek and the king of Sodom came over. He's like, can I get the people back? You can keep all the goods. Right? And he's just like, I don't want nothing from you, even a shoe latchet. Just get out of here and take your people.
Yeah.
Melchizedek didn't rebuke him.
Yeah.
He's like, get out of here.
Right? Yeah.
And what did Abraham tell God? He's like, surely thou wouldn't slay the righteous with the wicked. See, Abraham only deal was he just figured, well, there's got to be somebody saved in Sodom and Gomorrah. I realize that the rest of them are wicked.
Right?
I mean, that's what he meant when he said that.
Yeah.
I realize the rest of them are wicked, but you're going to kill the righteous? He's like, well, what if there's five? God's like, won't even do it for that. Go find them. Go find them. They're not there. Why? Because it was a nation of reprobates.
Yep. Right.
And then he blew them out and put them in hell. And they're in hell to this day.
Yep.
Is that a loving act?
No.
Were they God's enemies? Yes.
Right.
See, the problem is sometimes, you know, obviously God's enemies are our enemies as well. Right? And that's where people just, their minds just overload, help. I can't deal with this. Oh, I got to love everybody. Oh, Gandhi said it. Matthew chapter 7. You have Sunday school teachers, you have pastors, you have missionaries standing in line about to be thrown into hell.
Yep.
Not because they were Sodomites. Right? I mean, Lord, Lord, in thy name have we not cast out devils?
Yeah.
Right? And then done many wonderful works. What does Jesus say? Depart from me, I never knew you. Ye the workers of iniquity, he calls them. And then they swan dive into the lake of fire. Think about that. Jude chapter 20, right? Jude verse 7, look at this. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Just that verse right there should be enough to teach any pastor, any leader, any father, any mother, any teacher, anybody, the fact that Sodomite should not exist.
That's right.
So should we allow them to come in here, roll out the red carpet like that bozo in Tennessee said last year? What's that bozo's name?
Charles Lawson.
Yeah, what a clown. And you know what? When you roll out the red carpet for these people, you know what? They roll out a different kind of red carpet for your people.
Yep.
Don't think about that. Go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. So again, point number three. Jesus said to love your enemies, your neighbor, and the Lord with all thy heart. He did not say to love everyone. That is a false doctrine. You know, when I see Jude again, you know, we see an example to follow. You know why Jude verse 7 is in the Bible? Because it's something that we need to do. It's an example that we need to look after. We need to realize, you know that documentary that's out? Anybody ever seen that documentary about the modern day guy where he goes to Sodom and Gomorrah and it's just like ash, right? Or just sulfur and stuff. You know, we're to look at that and think about that and think about that fire and brimstone that we read about in Genesis 19. And we're to take that and we are to apply it to every area of our life. Right, in our family. You shouldn't let them come around your family. You shouldn't let them come into church. And you know what? They come into work. We can't do anything really about that other than teach you how to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Mm-hmm. You know, it is what it is. There is a formula to deal with that. There is a recipe to deal with that. But you know what? We need to make sure and we follow this example here. This is the end of the Bible. Whether you believe Jude was the Lord's brother or you believe he was the other apostle, it doesn't matter. Whoever it was, he spent time with the Lord Jesus Christ. And these are the words of God. And this is the last part of your Bible before you get to Revelation. So from the beginning to the end of the Bible, the doctrine remains the same. Jesus didn't change it in Matthew chapter 5. He said, hey, it's heard, or ye have heard that it hath been said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love everyone. That's not what he said. He's like saying, hey, no, that's not it at all. You need to love both. Right, but what I'm not saying is you love my enemies, okay, or the people that hate God. That's not what he's saying at all. So, quick deal here. Mark chapter 9, look at verse 42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. Does that sound like somebody that we are to love? Jesus is telling this crowd here, is like, hey, a person who would offend a little one who believes in me, it's better for that person, basically, that he would never be born. It's better for that person that he would have a millstone tied about his neck and cast into the sea and drown and have his body explode because of the pressure in the water. And we're supposed to love everyone, and Jesus loved everyone. Oh, Jesus said love everyone. Does he love these people here?
Right.
No, not at all. Why did he say this? Now, let's keep reading here, because oftentimes we'll stop here. But look at verse 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Interesting. Talks about people offending little ones that believe in him, right? And that their afterlife is going to be far worse than any human being in this room could ever imagine. And he goes in and starts talking about hell. Verse 44. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into or halt into life than having 2 feet cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Does that sound like a loving place? Does that sound like the Hampton Inn? Does that sound like some ski resort? No. Verse 46, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, and if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Everybody, Jesus never talked about hell. He never said that. These are his words.
Yep.
This is his promise. This is going to happen.
Yep.
This is reality. This will happen here. You know? And what he's not saying is that, oh, if there's some kind of sin in your life, you have to get it up. Otherwise, you're going to go to the lake of fire. You're going to go. No. He's like, whatever it is that's stopping you from being saved, whatever it is that you just can't let go of, oh, if I get saved, my family's going to turn. Oh, if I get saved. And he's like, you might as well just cut that off. Because it's better for you to lose that family member, to lose that friend, lose that job, lose whatever, than to go to this place.
Yeah, that's true.
But the person in verse 42 is going there.
Yeah.
It's a cemented deal. They have a reservation in hell.
Yep.
Right? That's what I'm saying. So let me just do a quick recap here. And remember this. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Isn't that funny? People can repeat that to you out at the door. Oh, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's how you get saved. You know, love everyone. No. His commandments are to love what? Your enemies, your neighbor, and the Lord God with all your heart. He didn't say love everyone. That's a violation of his commandments.
Yeah.
So again, point number one. We are to love our enemies, not God's enemies. You know, there is some hate that is justified.
Right.
And that hate is when we have that healthy, perfect hatred towards God's enemies. You see, when we corrupt that, then it's not perfect hate. You know what I mean? When we start to hate people or we just don't like somebody and so we try to find a way to fit them into a reprobate, you know what? That's no longer a perfect hatred. The perfect hatred is obviously hating people that clearly hate God. The sons of Belial, the devil worshippers, right? We are to love our enemies, not God's enemies. Point number two, as God's people, we are called to go above and beyond to show that we are the children of light. Why? Again, why? So that they may glorify our Father which is in heaven. It's the goal is to get them saved. The goal is to get them out of this place that we read about in Mark chapter 9. And point number three, Jesus said to love your enemies, your neighbor, and the Lord. He didn't say to love everyone. And last, I just want to leave you with a statement here. Don't ever let somebody make you feel like you're out of the will of God because you hate the enemies of God. Proper, perfect hatred is what we believe. It's what the Bible teaches from the front of the book to the back of the book, okay? Again, you know, you if you haven't yet, you will get flack because of that doctrine. It's just a reality. It's the way things work. You, as God's people, you have to know these things. You have to know where to go. Amen. And you know, you need to be ready to give the answer of the hope that is in you, right? Not just the salvation, but this. This doctrine. Yeah, I get it. We're not going to go up to somebody's door and preach them this right off the bat, right? But you know what? This doctrine could save someone's life. You could literally take a family and teach them this, and they say, you know what? My kid has been going to the school where they glorify this stuff. Or we've been going to this church, and the Sunday school teacher, he used to be a sodomite. No. You could educate. You could save that child's life. Right. Because if you get to them before the sodomite does, then guess what? Then it's too late for him.
Yeah.
Because when the sodomite gets them, it seems like 9 out of 10 times they learn to hate God. Where was God? Because nobody ever taught them. You know what? It's not God's fault. It's the United States government's fault because they didn't remove the person like God said
right.
to do.
Right.
And that's what we have got to remember. All right, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, again, for the teachings in your word, for the wisdom that we can pull from it, Lord, that would keep people safe and glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.